of that really is in our control. We can stop this imagining, fruitless imagining, and look to the kind of dreaming that we're celebrating today, imagining a beloved community, imagining the dream of Martin Luther King Jr. that we could co-create this place where all are welcome, where we're not focusing on abuses of power, rhetoric and chaos of our day, but on a curiosity of how we might carry his legacy forward and our legacy. We've gathered here today in the web of life, the interdependent web of life, this community that we celebrate. So I'm inviting us to imagine how we might co-create the beloved community here in our own lives, in our families, our various communities, all the points of contact that we have, where love and justice flow together to bring about peace, tall order. But when we focus on what we can do here and now, it might come more naturally than we think. For King, he embodied this dream, not perfectly. We know stories about King and his humanity, which we share, but to the best of his ability. And that's really all we're asked, to do this to our best ability. He worked to organize people. He was charismatic. He could speak. He could speak to anyone. And we heard in the readings today, he went to India. He studied Gandhi. He listened. He became curious. His dream began to reach beyond his own needs and own wants, beyond his own southern community, beyond the United States. And he imagined a global society where everyone has a share of the earth's wealth, where poverty, hunger, and hatred are no longer tolerated anywhere, where people in black and brown skin have the same opportunities as anyone else, where everyone sees themselves as part of the human family. International disputes are settled peacefully through negotiations, and love and trust trump fear and hate. King urged officials to create systems that could implement these practices, teach peacemaking skills, strengthen infrastructures and municipalities, and ensure healthcare and education are basic human rights. If you're like me looking back, we've seen some of this progress. We've seen a lot of this progress. And we celebrate it because it's been hard won. So these small celebrations are steps toward a bigger, brighter future, but they're also worth celebrating here and now today. One of my favorite quotes of his, and I've been on the King Center website, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere," and that whatever affects one person directly affects all of us. There's the web. We are interconnected in a web of life. If one part is disturbed, we all feel it. We can't escape it. We shouldn't want to escape it because it stirs up our empathy and it stirs up our care for people in our lives. Now, I grew up in a Southern Baptist church. I know many of you grew up in places other than the Unitarian Universalist, perhaps. One of the songs that has stayed with me is "Let There Be Peace on Earth, and Let It Begin with Me." I think this beloved community is the same kind of thing. We're beginning with ourselves. King's imagination, King's dream, is something that we can join in this time of uncertainty. So focusing on a positive way forward instead of imagining worst-case scenarios. That's number one. And take action when we see something, say something. You know, the famous airport experience. If you see something, say something. And this takes courage. So when we see an injustice, when we see an abuse, when we see a racist experience, when we incur ourselves some sort of prejudice, King called these evils. They undermine society. They do violence to our society. So when we practice the way of nonviolence, we say something, and it takes courage. So we're called to be courageous people. So we resist the powers of violence by saying something. And it sounds simple. I love that we heard simple gifts today. What is simple is not really always easy, and maybe sometimes ever easy. Have you ever tried to draw a perfect circle? Sounds simple, but no. The artists among us know this. It's not that easy. But it takes courage. It takes courage to resist violence and say something. In saying something, it might feel like more violence on top of violence. We're going to offend someone, yes. But we're calling out justice. And justice simply is love in action. So are we a loving community? Do we want to create that? Yes, I bet every person here would. It's not for the faint of heart, though. Also, nonviolence seeks friendship in the face of adversaries and understanding. So how can we make friends of our adversaries? One of my favorite quotes from an ancient Greek philosopher, and I always get it wrong, so I'm not going to even try. From a true adversary, boundless courage flows to me. So in the face of adversity or an adversary, someone who's taken an adversarial stance, it takes courage to seek friendship with this person. It takes a growth mentality. I want to learn, how did you come to believe this? How did you come to feel this way? And in one of the trauma-informed care books that I'm very fond of, it takes courage and an open growth mentality to ask, what happened in your life that created this belief? I want to hear the story. Like, people of faith who know we're interconnected in this web are people of the story. Tell me how you came to be this way. And in that way, we seek friendship with the adversary, and we can learn and grow. And we're defeating injustice, not defeating the person. It's the person that matters in the beloved community. We also, in a nonviolent stance, that we know that unearned voluntary suffering for a just cause can educate and transform people and societies. So nonviolence is a willingness to accept suffering without retaliation and insult, without giving it back. And that insult can be violent, can be physically violent and otherwise, and we know that, but to not strike back. And this is where I think our culture holds together two really different energies, in Martin Luther King Jr.'s nonviolent way and Malcolm X's violent way, more aggressive, confrontive. I don't make a judgment on it, but I know that our culture and our history has held both of those as beneficial to recognize that Black Lives Matter, that inclusive, diverse communities are stronger together when we can come together in the cause of justice. We grow and we become we become the beloved community that King speaks of. Sometimes nonviolence is a willingness to accept violence if it's necessary, but never inflict it for King. Also, nonviolence chooses love instead of hate. So resisting the spirit of hate, seeing the person is worthy of love, and love is spontaneous, unselfish, and creative. This is a high, tall order. But so how do we do it in our lives? When we see something, say something. And in my workplace, we practice anti-racism. And that means calling out racism, saying what it is, counteracting the racist comment or practice, speaking up. So as we think about the beloved community, dream together. Imagine the way forward for yourself. When we come together, we imagine it in our community, and we focus on the ways that we can create a global, nonviolent, beloved community. Elected officials, supporting policies that do that. Practicing peace through courageous curiosity. Make friends with the person in front of us, even when we disagree. And advocate for human rights. These are all pillars of the UUA. These are all pillars of this church, this community, communities of faith everywhere that can come together with these things. And let us do that, because for such a time as this, this is what we can do. Amen.